All right, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 is where we're at today. I'm going to be preaching a series, What is Christmas is All About? We're going to see a video in just a minute, but I'm going to read the scripture first. What is Christmas all about? What is Christmas all about? Matthew presents Jesus as King. Let's all stand up for the King today as we read His Word. Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, and not is not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Father, we've come here today to hear a word from you. I pray for your fresh oil of anointing to be upon us all, that we will not be only hearers of the word, but we'll be doers. Oh God, help us this Christmas season to give you our undivided attention, for you're worthy. For we bow down to one King, King Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Well, let's hear what the friends of Charlie Brown's got to say about what Christmas is all about. Thought y'all might enjoy it. I like this message.
Yes, I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I think it's really neat that they would actually tell the Christmas story. That's pretty cool. And you know, if our children could hear something like that and hear more cartoons like that, it would change our world. What is Christmas all about? Matthew presents Jesus as King, as I said. So I want to ask you a question. Who is the King of your life? We are most like God when we give. So if you want to know what Christmas is all about, you have to look at the gift that God gave us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. It's funny how we all seem to focus at Christmas time on giving gifts to each other. It's His birthday. You know? It's funny how we focus on each other and we don't focus on the one it's all about. So my challenge is to get you focused on the one who taught us the right way to understand Christmas. What is Christmas all about? So if you want to know how much you are like God, look honestly at your giving record. I cannot think of a better definition of Christianity than this. Give, give, give. God is a giver. He gave us life itself. And the ultimate gift was that of His Son. What more cherished, more precious, more intimate gift could one give than that of His only child? Think about it. If we want to achieve God-likeness, then we must become givers like God. God does not ask us to renounce our possessions. He does not ask us to renounce our spirit of possessiveness. He does not ask us to give up necessities, but He does ask us to share out of our abundance. And you know, Thanksgiving is a good time for us to focus on how good God is. I like the idea of thanks for giving, because God blesses when we give cheerfully and we give out of joy. The greatest joy in life is not by taking all that we can get, but by sharing all that we have got. I am convinced that unless you learn to give, you will never learn to be fully Christ-like or human. And so that's why I'm dealing with this Christmas message today. Number one, Christmas is about the heart. Christmas is about the heart. You see that in verses 1-5. We're talking about test the tithe day. Well, it's really a test of the heart, isn't it? The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart of Christmas is the gift of God's Son, Jesus. And the wise know this. So I want to talk about the wise man for a moment. The wise man. Look at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. The wise men came seeking. They came to see. They came to share. Wise men still seeking. Wise men still want to see what God is up to. Wise men still share all that God has blessed them with. And wise men and women still worship the king. Amen? These were wise men. By the way, the smartest people I know are the people that know Jesus. I'll tell you, if you know Jesus today, you know what love is all about. For God so loved the world, He gave. I'm telling you something, wise men still share all that God has blessed them with. It is a wise man who gives back to God what is already his. In that day, it would mean death to the person who would approach any king without a gift. In other words, you wouldn't come before any king because a king had the right to take your life. You better bring some kind of gift. Jesus is our king, and we should bring our gifts to Him. It's where your treasure is that speaks of where your heart is. Do you love to give? You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Amen? That's the wise thing, and a wise person knows how to give. A wise person not only knows how to give, they know how to worship. Look what the wise men did. They came to worship. For we have come, look at verse 2, for we have come to worship Him. It's interesting in verse 11, it says they worship Him. They didn't worship Mary. Hello? Uh-oh. Some of you got that. He didn't come to, hey, the wise men didn't worship Mary. We're not to worship man. We're not to worship music. Hello? Boy, our church has become so much about music these days. We think it's all about music. It's not about music. It's not about man. And it's not about Mary. It's about Jesus. Amen. By the way, what are you thinking right now? What are you focused on? Are you focused on something else? By the way, I can already tell. I sense it. It's amazing how you can sense things. I touched a nerve this morning. You know, people come to church and they don't want to hear anything about giving, but they want to hear all about how God gave. God gave His Son so that we might have life and have it everlasting. But when God asks us to do something, we don't want to participate. God deserves our worship. Hello? What is the word worship all about? Are y'all listening to me? Say amen. Amen. It means worth-ship. He's worth something. Amen? He's worth our all in worship. Our all. We are here to worship Him. That is Jesus and Him alone. There is only one star in the Bible. There is only one star in worship. And there is only one bright and morning star, and that's Jesus. Man, I'll tell you, I think it's a shame and disgrace when we get up here and we would ever think about that music's it's all about us and we're singing and we're trying to become the star of worship. I am not the star of worship. No musician is the star of worship. There's only one star here, and his name is Jesus. Amen? It's not about us, but I'll tell you what, it's about him, and we're to worship him and him alone. He makes it very clear, you're to have no other gods before you. You know what? There are other gods before us today. I'll tell you the truth. When you start talking about this right here, this is the almighty dollar for a lot of people. It's the almighty God. Amen? For many people, they bow down to their money, and their money is their God. They worship their money. They don't worship God. But you know what? If you worship God, you understand that it involves everything. We can worship daily in our walk. Can I get an amen? Amen. Talked to the students last week. You got to walk the walk, not just walk the talk. You worship daily in your walk. You worship daily in your witness. This church is becoming a powerful witness to our community, to invite people to come in here, and we feed them for nothing on Thanksgiving. People sacrificed to do that, but that's a means of worship as well as we witness. We witness in our work, and yes, we witness with our wallets. What's in your wallet? Or better than that, who's in your wallet? Is Jesus there? I didn't get no amens. Is Jesus in your wallet? Think about it. Worship means worship. Jesus is worth our worship. I love what the Bible says in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights. Friend, if we have anything to offer to God, it's because he gave it to us in the first place. Every breath we breathe comes from him. And the Bible says, everyone that has breath is to praise the Lord. I thank God for two hands. If I can use them for the world to clap, surely I can use them for God to clap. Some people say, I had a man tell me years ago, I just don't believe that's biblical to clap in church. It's in Psalms. The book of Psalms says it several times, clap before the Lord. Yeah, the Bible says you to lift holy hands up before the Lord. You know what? I'd rather hold my hands up to Jesus than to hold my hand up to some thief who wants to rob me. I'd rather say, Jesus, I worship you. By the way, if you're worshiping him, he's looking after you. Amen? I'll tell you, I really believe I heard this from the Lord when I came to this church. I really believe. I haven't forgot this. By the way, when God speaks, you want to listen. And he spoke. He said, if you'll lead that church to worship me, I'll take care of every need that church has. God will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. We get concerned about how we're going to pay the bills, how we're going to take care of this. We treat God like he's poor. Let me tell you something. God's not poor. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. But we don't worship when we're tight-fisted. We ought to be worshiping with open hands. Lord, I give you my all. I'll tell you something. God will bless that kind of worship. Worship means giving your all. I like this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his undescribable gift. I like that. Undescribable. And then third of all, the word. You see it right here in verses 3 through 5. When Herod the king had heard these things, he heard them, he was troubled, all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, this is interesting to me, he got the preachers together, the priests, the scribes of the people. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. He didn't know God's word. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now today we lit the prophecy candle. Prophecy is all about the word. Someone asked me this morning, new members class, what about this and what about that? I said, if it don't line up with the word, don't do it. God never contradicts himself. He never would tell us to do something that is not in his word. Notice what it says, for thus it is written by the prophets. And then notice in verse 8, latter part, it says, Herod said, when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. If the word of God is hidden in your heart, you will always know the will of God. That's important for you to understand. Herod did not know the word of God, so he didn't know the will of God because it was not in his heart to know. What's in your heart today? Do you want to know the Word? There are some people that don't have no desire to hear the Word of God. They don't come to Sunday school. They come to church very little. They don't want to hear the Word. You know why? The Word of God causes us to change. It really does. The wise men were seeking the king. Herod was opposing the king. And the Jewish priests, the preachers, were ignoring the king. These priests knew the Word and pointed others to the Savior, but would not go to worship Him themselves. They quoted Micah 5:2, but they didn't obey the Word of God. They were only 5 miles from the very Son of God, yet they would not go to worship Him themselves. Oh man, how many people miss Christmas with all the commercialism and all the other stuff? I think about there was no room in the inn for Jesus. No room for Him to lay His head. Not much different today. We don't have time for Jesus. We don't have time to study God's Word. And now we're seeing the fruits of it. I'll tell you, if you get a church diving into the Word of God daily, it would transform that church. Read your Bible, because your Bible reads you. Did you know that? Yeah, it really will, and it will speak to your heart. The Word of God, I love this verse, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was born in fulfillment of prophecy, and where He was born was a fulfillment of prophecy. Bethlehem means house of bread, and this is where the bread of life was born. How do you like that one? I mean, here's where the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. It's interesting about this subject of the Word real quick. The wise men were not Jews. It's interesting that the Jews knew all about Jesus, and they were able to tell Herod, the priests and the scribes, they could tell Herod where Jesus was going to be born. They were Jews. I think about what Jesus said. He came to his own received Him not. But here's the wise man. They were all Gentiles. You and I are Gentiles. Thank God that the gospel Paul preached to the Gentiles, the gospel's for everybody. Aren't you glad of that? What if Jesus had just been born for the Jews? What if He had just died for the Jews? But He died for you. And you know what? God showed His love toward all the world. For God so loved the world, He gave His own. That's the Word. Hey, if you don't know any other verse, know that one. Amen. God loves you today. God gave His Son for you. All right, I got to move on quickly. Christmas is about the heart. Christmas is about the hope. Christmas is about the hope. Here we see the prophecy. Christmas is all about a birth. Notice what He says. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor. This is prophecy. That shall rule my people Israel. God humbled Himself. He took on the form of a human flesh to become one of us so that we could become one of His. The real question is concerning your spiritual birth is that have you been born again? Jesus was born. Listen to me carefully. Jesus was born. He became one of us so that we could become born again and become one of Him. Christmas is all about a birth, but it's not just some birth. Jesus was not the Son of God because He was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin because He was the Son of God. You see, Jesus did not have His start in Bethlehem. Jesus stepped out of the glory, the Bible says. He stepped out of the glory upon it. He says in Isaiah, unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, I'm aware that the world laughs at this idea of the virgin birth. They think that it's some sort of primitive medieval superstition or something. They laugh, they mock of the idea of the virgin birth. I can tell you, that's what the devil loves. He loves to take something that's so godly and distort it. But I'm telling you something, friend. I believe with all my heart. And I'm going to end this message in just a minute. And I'm going to end it talking about what God can do with you. Because if God can touch Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit and give her a child, what can God do through you? Amen. Friend, God can do great things through you. Mary was just like any other woman. Yes, she was. She was humble. She was godly. But she's just like many of the women. Hey, Mary would not have stood out in the crowd. That's why we don't worship Mary, do we? But I'm going to tell you something. What God can do to a person who's yielded to Him. She, listen carefully, She was a virgin before she had Jesus, and after giving birth to Jesus, she was still a virgin. Yeah. No man had been with her. Because what had happened with Mary was that God had touched her. And what God touched is perfect and clean and right. Amen. That there is a miracle going on here. You can laugh at it. You can mock at the idea of a virgin birth. But I can tell you furthermore, the devil hates the idea of the virgin birth because it teaches both the humanity and the deity of who the Savior is, the Lord Jesus Christ. But worse than the mockery of the world and the hatred of Satan is the ignorance of so many Christians concerning the virgin birth. Many of them doubt it. Some don't believe it at all, and others think it's incidental. You got an old-fashioned preacher up here this morning who still believes in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm never going to change my view of that. That is one of the most holy doctrines in the Bible. Because you see, we're talking about Jesus without sin. You were born into sin, okay? But Jesus was not. Jesus was never a sinner. He never did sin. And what's such a big deal? Had he ever sinned in any form or fashion, he couldn't have gone to the cross for us. But this is so powerful that because of his virgin birth was his vicarious death and how he died and shed his blood and gave his life, and he did it all perfectly to please a holy God and to pay your sin debt. Somebody ought to have a spell about right now. Christmas is all about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Christmas is all about a baby. I love babies. Man, Sherry and I talk about Jonathan and Kelly's baby all the time. Boy, we don't get this. We've only seen her, what, three? That boy's got to get right with God and bring that baby up here. But Christmas is all about a baby. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Herod knew about the baby Jesus. He had received his counsel from the chief priests and the scribes. He demanded in verse 4, where this baby would be born. Herod lived by fears. He was a ruthless murderer. In fact, he had killed his own wife and two of her brothers because he suspected treason. I'm telling you, this was one fearful dude. The news of one that might be the king of the Jews was intimidating by him, for him, because Herod wanted to be the king of the Jews. Herod and others orders, you know what he does? He orders all the babies, what, two and younger, to be killed. But what did God do? But look after Jesus. Amen. Told Joseph, move on, brother. It's time to move on. God. You see the miracle, and we're going to get that miracle in just a minute, how God orchestrates things. So I got to get to that. All right, I'm almost through here. Christmas is about believing. Verse 8 and 12. And he went and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring the word again that I may come and worship him also. You see, here's a man that won't really believe in. And a lot of people are like this. Some people can believe in the miracle of Christmas and others can't. Why is that? Many people have lost hope for their lack of belief. The wise man, Joseph, Mary, were all warned of God to go another way. Notice in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Jesus was not born as many expected. He came wrapped up in a package that was not expected. They were looking for a great deliverer. They were looking for the Messiah. Surely he would come on a great white horse. How did Jesus come? As a little, lowly baby in a manger. Why? Because anybody could approach him. He was not born high in some kind of a castle, or he was not born in some kingdom. No, here is the Creator. Yes, this is God in flesh, incarnation. And you know what? I believe with all of my heart. I really believe this. I mean, if God made the first Adam, why couldn't he make the second? I mean, he took the dust of the earth and made the first Adam. So here's Jesus, our deliverer. And I believe this Bible from cover to cover. I tell you, folks, I believe it from Genesis to maps. I believe it exactly the way it says it. And you know what? You say, well, Preacher Ronnie, what if you're wrong and you get to heaven and you find out that this is not true? Well, guess what? I'll just be in heaven, get it wrong. You'll be somewhere else and you'll have it right, I guess. God is right. Amen. And any other way, look up here. It's wrong. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to my Father but by me. You can believe it and receive it, or you can doubt it and do without it. Amen? I mean, friend, that's the way it is. God is a gentleman. If you want to receive him today, he'll come into your life and change your life. If you want to reject him, there's the door. Right? I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but that's what he says. You believe it, receive it, or doubt it and do without it. You don't have to come to Jesus, but boy, you'll be glad that you did. You don't have to live for him, but you'll be glad you did. You don't have to read your Bible, but you'll be glad you did. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God is real. And Christmas is all about God becoming one of us. And I believe in the incarnation. All right, my best part. Now I believe I have a spell. Christmas is about the holy. It's not only about the heart. It's not only about the hope, but it's about the holy. And I got to talk about Jesus when I talk about holy. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. He wants us to walk in his path, but he's the holy child. Amen? Notice this. I'll take my coat off because I love this. Look at verse 9. He directs nature. When they had heard the king, they departed, talk about the wise men, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now consider how God accomplishes his purpose. I want you to take this personal. I want you to take this and I want you to make it relevant for your life. He directs nature. Consider how God accomplishes his purpose in this particular text. In order to lead the wise men, he directs nature. He's creator God. Speaking of the star shining in the sky, John Piper said this. He whirls the universe to make his son known and worshiped. Did y'all hear that? He whirls the universe to make his son known and worshiped. How amazing to think that God arranges the sky to announce the birth of his son. Y'all don't get that, do you? But I'm going to tell you something. Did you know God can do anything he wants to do with nature? He can control the stars. He's the maker of the stars. Hello? You want to make it more relevant? Put a sad countenance on your face, probably. All these storms that we keep seeing, I think God's trying to tell us something. He's in control. He's saying, either you wake up, America, or I can take America away. I think there needs to be some fear of God. He is the God of nature. He created it. I don't know how that lights your fire, but that lights my fire. How amazing to think that God arranges the sky to announce the birth of his son. He exercises his authority as the sovereign over the universe to make clear that the king has been born and he is worthy of our worship. God uses the stars to shout the supremacy of Jesus Christ. God is holy, and because he is, his ways are perfect. He works in ways we cannot see. He is a way-making God. He knows how to direct your life if you will simply allow him. You're concerned today about the direction of your life. You're wondering why things aren't working out. You're struggling with things. You're wondering, well, what's going on in my life? What's going on in my marriage? What's going on with my money? What's happening? Listen, folks, God owns everything. He literally is in control of all things, whether you recognize it or not. He really is. And there's nothing that can touch your life that God don't already know about. Amen. He's already in the mar. He's already in 2018. You need to stop trying to figure everything out and just put your faith in the one who's got it all figured out. I mean, really, he's got it all figured out. You say, well, that's, you know, I want to figure things out. My wife is broken. I want to fix her. Good luck, buddy. It's not going to happen. You know, we're all trying to fix things. We're all trying to make things work. We're always trying to outdo one another. About like these three little boys, they were talking about what they were going to get their mother for Christmas, and they all wanted to outdo one another. So one little boy said, well, I got my mom an electric knife. I'm tired of seeing her having to cut things with an old knife. I got her an electric knife. The other one said, well, that ain't nothing. I got my mother one of those expensive electric mixers. I'm tired of seeing her having to mix food. I mean, my mom's a good cook. So I went out, and my daddy and I, we worked it out. We got her one of those nice cookers. Well, the third little boy, he thought, man, I got to outdo that electric knife and that nice mixer. Those things are expensive. He said, I got to come up with something. He said, I got my mom a really nice electric chair. I'll tell you something. We always want to outdo one another. We want to do better. When do you get to the place where you can just be at peace and enjoy this life? Amen. He directs things and he works things out for your good and your glory. Do you believe that? Amen. All things still, I believe, work together for good to them that love the Lord. You say, well, it's not working the way I want it, but if it's working the way he wants it, aren't you better off? Hello? He directs nature and then he draws nations. Look at verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew aims to show us that Jesus is the born King of the Jews, and he goes beyond that as well. Jesus has come right in line with the promise to Abraham, the great covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, to bless God's people for the sake of all peoples of the nations. Don't be like the priests and the scribes who had their noses in the scripture, but who missed the main point of the text. Instead, appreciate the wise men who were Gentiles, other nations. They were not Jews, and God was and is drawing the nations to himself. How did the wise men approach such a holy king? Listen to me carefully. I wish I had more time with this. They brought him gold. You know what gold was symbolic of? It was a gift of royalty. Gift for a king. I've put in my Bible, gold person. Reminds me of the person of who Jesus is. Jesus is God. I believe that. Amen. Jesus is God. Jesus is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. So in my mind, when I think of gold, I think of the person who is the true king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then frankincense, I think of a priest. Used by the priest to worship God, it was a good smelling odor. It was a wonderful means of worship. You ever smelled the presence of the Lord? You ever been in church? I remember thinking this as a little boy. We'd go to church as a little boy, and I thought church always has a distinct smell. And I was in a Pentecostal church, and people didn't bind the spirit up at all, and it was free. I mean, it was wide open. But I'll tell you this, I could always, as a little boy, I'm talking about, now I hid under the pews, I did. I was scared, because they were doing a lot of things that I'm not used to. But I was scared to death as a little fella. I hid under the pews. That's where I stayed. But I could smell. And I thought, boy, there's a sweet smell in here. I'll tell you something, when God shows up, it sure does smell good. It's a wonderful thing when you experience the presence of God, church. And that's what this is. Frankincense was symbolic of. It was a smell. It was a pleasant thing when you're in the presence of God. He directs nature. He draws. And by the way, right, I'm fixing to wrap this up. He's drawing people right now. God's drawing you. You're not a nation. You're one of the nation. And God wants to draw you into himself. The Bible says the Holy Spirit draws us. And then mirth, purpose. That's what I've put beside mirth, purpose. Jesus was born to die. From the cradle, he experienced mirth. To the cross, they offered him vinegar and mirth. Mirth was an embalming. And here was his purpose. Jesus was born to die. Now, not many babies, you hear that, were born to die, but Jesus was born to go to the cross. The purpose of his birth was to become flesh so he could hang on that cross for you. He draws us to himself. Because he's the one who paid the ultimate price. Last, and I'm not done, but I'm ready to take off now. He delivers now. He delivers now. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want to close talking about this right now. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Some of you have given up. You've lost hope. Where is your heart today? Is Jesus in your heart? Christmas is about the heart. Where is your heart? Where is your hope? And let me just close in saying this. What God can do. Now, he directed, listen to me carefully, he directed the wise men to go another way. I'm here to tell you, our God is a way-making God. Little is much when God is in it. You just let God get hold of you and things will start changing around you. Amen? You let God. Now, I'm closing. I want you to get this. What happens when God gets hold of things? God got hold of Noah, and the thing called the ark was built, and God delivered Noah and his family from the flood. God parted the Red Sea and delivered the nation of Israel because he got a hold of Moses and that rod. Remember? And God told Moses, just hold out the rod, son. I tell you, it's amazing when God gets a hold of you. And God gets a hold of the things around you. Amen? What if God got a hold of you and he got a hold of the things around you? What would happen? Well, the same thing that happened to Moses. Yeah. Moses was, he had his struggles. I mean, he had to be trained on the backside of the desert, and he was brought up as an Egyptian and all. But look what God can do when God gets hold of you. God got hold of the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and he delivered them. Not a hair of their head was singed. And when the king looked in the fiery furnace, he said, wait a minute, I thought we put three in that fiery furnace. They said, we did. Well, there's a fourth one, and he looks like the Son of God. I'm going to tell you, when God shows up, and I'm going to tell you at Christmas, that's what God did. God showed up. Yes, he did. In that little manger, God showed up and God got a hold of him. I'm telling you something. All from the beginning, when Jesus was born, his whole life, he lived a sinless life. He lived a perfect life. Jesus Christ came to be our deliverer and he delivers now. God got a hold of that little boy's lunch. You remember that little boy? He had five loaves and two fishes, and all that needed to happen was that the disciples said, here. And Jesus took that little lunch and he set a blessing over that five loaves and two fishes. And what did he do but feed 5,000 men, not counting the wives and the children and all that. When God shows up and he gets his hands on something, what can God do? God got hold of Mary and she was a child by the Holy Ghost. 9 months later, the great deliverer was born. God got a hold of that cross and allowed his only son to be our deliverer for all mankind. And God got a hold, I'm telling you, he got a hold of that empty tomb, because it was empty because he'd already taken his son out of it. I tell you, on the third day, Jesus arose from the grave and he lives today. I said he lives today. I said today, right now, our deliverer is still alive. Amen. All these other gods are dead. All the pharaohs are dead. All the popes. You go to Rome, Pope so-and-so's dead, Pope so-and-so's dead, Pope so-and-so dead. But our Savior lives. Our God is a way-making God. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. You're hurting today, he can heal you. Your marriage is on the rocks today, let God hold you and your mate, and he'll make two become one. You're struggling financially, give God the 10%, and the 90% will go further than the 100% in the deliverer's hand. What can God do when it's in his hand? I'll tell you this, look up here. God can do a whole lot more when it's in his hands than when it's in your hands. Told the story last week. I got a kick out of it. I don't know if you did or not, but a little boy was invited by a clerk, said, why don't you just reach in that big jar and get all the candy you want? It's on the house. And the little boy wouldn't do it. So the man reached in and gave him a bunch of candy, got outside. His mother scolded him, said, that was ugly. That man offered you to reach in there and get all the candy. He's going to give it to you. Why didn't you take it? And he said this. He said, because mama, his hand's a lot bigger than mine. And I'd get a lot more if he reaches in there. I'm going to tell you, that's who God is. You let God reach into your life. What will happen? A whole lot more than you can do. Amen. We are so frail. We're so fragile. We're just human beings. But our God is supernatural. Amen. And what happens when the supernatural touches the natural? Well, guess what? He can move things around. Amen. He can orchestrate things in your life. Right. I really believe that. You know how I believe that? Because he saved me and he'll save you. The invitation is this. God will make a way. He made a way on the cross. Did he not make the way? He didn't. Look up here. We're fixing the thing. He didn't die on that cross for him. He died on that cross for you. Now, here's what you got to do. You got to accept it. What if I had a nice Christmas gift for you here, and I'd wrapped it up, and I had a pretty bow on it, and I'm handing it to you, and you'd say, no, thank you. Boy, that would really hurt my feelings. It really would. But that's what we say to God. God's reaching out to us in his love. He's wrapped up his son in that manger. He says, here's my Christmas gift to you. That's what Christmas is all about. But if you don't receive it, you're going to miss the whole purpose. His purpose was to die for you. Will you receive him today? Right where you are. Let's bow our head. We're going to pray. And if you've never received Christ, would you pray this prayer right now? Make it your prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus. I believe He died on the cross. I believe He rose again. I ask You to forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart and save my soul. Today I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.